In the film, Jeremiah says of the communities he works with, they know exactly their issues. They have more ideas that are better than ours. This is hinting at something that all we can are passionate about, that local people are the experts in their own situation. And this applies to us too. As people in this church, we should be experts in the community that we are part of. So we're going to have a little quiz to see how well we know our area, or at least what we agree on about our area. So to illustrate the principle that we should know more about our community than someone's coming in from outside it, last year, a new Greggs store opened in Richmond. As is the custom, the walls of the shop featured pictures from the surrounding area. Idyllic shots of Kew Gardens, boats on the Thames, Hampton Court Palace. The only issue was the store was in Richmond, Yorkshire, not Richmond upon Thames. Someone in an office somewhere made decisions without the input of the people who understood the local concept. So I'm going to ask some questions and see if we can answer them. Right, the first one. Who is the most famous person to come from Southgate, do you think? Do we know any famous people who come from Southgate? Possibly, yeah. I was going to say Colin, though, the first time you know some things, but he's keeping quiet at the back. Rodri? Lee Hunt? The poet Lee Hunt, yeah? Judge Rod Rinder, he's from Southgate. But I did Google, and he said some people from Southgate. I worked, there's quite a few on this list. Lee Hunt was on it, yeah, you said Lee Hunt. Some of these I've never heard of. Oyin Khan at Braithwaite. Neville Brody, Olivia De Lima, Norman Ellis, Howard French, a British journalist, Peter Jay, the drummer. I'm trying to look if there's any even Arab now. Alfred Walker, the cricketer, Frederick Walker, the cricketer, Henry Walker and Isaac Walker, the world cricketers, Martin Stevens, the actor, Amy Winehouse is on it, yeah, Paul Scott, the novelist. So there's lots of people, some I've never heard of. So when you go home, if you want to, you can Google who the famous people of Southgate are. Right, next question. Where can you get the best fish and chips in Southgate?
Along the road, yeah?
Anybody disagree with Colin that the best fish and chips in Southgate are along the road?
Cannons.
Right, so I've got two different, see? So there's some nice fish and chip shops in Southgate. Who is the mascot of the local football team? Who would you say the local football team is? Who's the one for Tottenham? Who's Tottenham's?
Cockerel. And what about Arsenal's? That's the thing, but the mascot's the dinosaur. Yeah. And I presume Enfield Town and our mascot, but I don't know who they are. Who's the best person in our congregation to talk about local history? Colin Barrett, I think we'd all agree with that one. Where's the best spot to watch the sunrise? Who said Trent Park? Yeah.
So home is where the heart is. There's no place like home. Home is where one starts from. We have lots of phrases that say something about home. It's an important and multi-layered concept for all of us. It's why charity begins at home. All We Can campaign theme for this year is such an evocative phrase. Home is also a theme that is explored frequently in Scripture, including in the passage we have just heard. This morning, with the help of All We Can, we're going to explore the phrase, charity begins at home. through the lens of these passages, thinking about what that means for us this harvest, for our homes, and for the homes of people all we can work with. So our home, let's start with that. After all, this is what the phrase charity begins at home tends to refer to. When used cynically, it is often used to suggest we shouldn't do anything to tackle poverty and injustice abroad, because poverty exists in our own communities. We should get our own house in order before helping others, so goes the logic. The phrase has been used 110 times in Parliament in the last 20 years, most often in debates relating to foreign aid or refugees, suggesting that those things shouldn't be prioritised. This poses a problem to charities like All We Can, whose work is focused on supporting communities globally, and it's a common reason people give for not supporting their work. But is there something in it? The parable of the wise and foolish builder might have something to tell us about looking after our own home and seeking justice. One lesson it might teach us is about sustainability. Let me ask a question. In the story, who is in a better position to help others after the rain and wind? The wise man, with his house intact, is free to go out and help others. The foolish builder, meanwhile, will now have to spend his time and resources building a new house. Time and resources he now can't use to help others. It would be like if a football team played with no goalkeeper or defenders. You might think that would allow you to score more goals, but playing with no defence foundation would mean you can't sustain any attacking play either. To be sustained and consistent in our justice seeking and decide to help others, we need to have a firm foundation. Our own homes can't be one that is blown down at the first sign of adversity. The passage shows us that the key to this sustainability is rootedness in God, to hear his words and put them into practice. We are in a better position to help others when we are rooted in Jesus and when we are well practiced in care for ourselves and our communities. In the Methodist Church's Justice Seeking Church strategy, one of the five practices of justice is prayer. Our personal spiritual lives are not separate from our desire to do justice, but a crucial element of it. Prayer helps us tune into God's desires for our communities and the world, and provide a space for us to voice our anger and at the way things are. This is one way that charity begins at home, holds true. We have responsibility for our own spiritual lives, our spiritual home, and our rootedness in Christ affects how effectively we can build his kingdom. We need to be able to sustain our justice seeking even when times are tough. We cannot do it if we neglect ourselves and neglect our immediate community. The other way the parable helps us think about charity begins at our home is that it provides a warning against rushing in without thought or expertise. In this desire to do something, in his desire to finish the job quickly, the second builder ends up in a worse position than when he started. Can you think of any examples of a time when someone rushed in, desperate to do some good, and actually ended up doing more harm than good as a result? To continue the football analogy, when American businessman Todd Bowley bought Chelsea Football Club in 2022, having had success with American baseball teams, but no previous experience of British sport, he almost immediately sacked the manager. went on a huge spending spree of over £1 billion on lots of new players, and made the team substantially worse. Do you agree, Raymond? Was it bad?
Yeah.
He moved quickly on poor foundations, without self-awareness of the limitations of his expertise. Sometimes, this is what all we can hear from their local partners of low-income countries. Stories of other organisations or well-meaning individuals who have come into their communities with the best of intentions, wanting to make a difference to people living in poverty. But by moving too quickly, immediately setting up a project that might have worked elsewhere, not taking time to be led by the expertise of local people, not building any long-term capacity to maintain the project. The project either doesn't work to begin with, or it can't be sustained once the external organisation has left. The parable warns us against quick fixes and a lack of self-reflection. This is not to say that once you have solved a problem in your own house, you have the moral authority and know how to tell others how to solve their own problems. But self-awareness, a knowledge of what we are and are not best placed to offer, is another key component of justice seeking. So then, in the sense that we are responsible for our own spiritual rootedness, and that self-awareness is vital, the traditional meaning of charity begins at home holds true. Where it does not hold true is when it is used to suggest that caring about our own homes and our own communities is mutually exclusive with caring about injustice elsewhere in the world. When it is used to say we should only support people elsewhere once things are perfect at home. The truth is, it's not an either or, it's a both and. Positive practices of justice are mutually reinforcing. When we serve our own communities in a humble, trusting, locally led way that help us to do so elsewhere. When we embody good practice of justice in global poverty works, that gives us fresh perspective on justice seeking in our own context. Compassion breeds more compassion. Justice seeking breeds more justice seeking. So now we've covered our home, we're going to insert a new word into the classic phrase. Charity begins at their home. They, in this instance, being anyone outside our own home or community, that we may wish to support in some way. Not in an us and them divisive way, but simply recognising that other contexts are different from our own. If we accept that supporting our immediate families and communities isn't at odds with just seeking justice further afield, what does it look like to do so appropriately? It would be very easy at this point to cast ourselves in the role of the wise builder with lots of expertise and skills and imagine that the kind of low-income communities all we can work with are the foolish builders who need to be told what to do by the wise outsiders. And much of the international development work has historically been based on that kind of assumption. All too often we over-evaluate our own wisdom and under-evaluate the wisdom of people experiencing poverty or injustice. So what is the alternative? While it's not the central thrust of the story, something else the parable of the wise and foolish builder reveals is that God gives us the freedom to build our own homes. Even in testing conditions, God still allows the two builders to try and find their own solutions. The second builder might have made foolish choices, but they were his choices to make. The parable doesn't end with God building the house for him. Personal freedom and autonomy are important to God. He allows us to make our own decisions. So why is it that when we seek to alleviate poverty and tackle injustice, whether in our own country or overseas, we often remove freedom of choice from the people who we seek to help? This is something that all we can are very keen to avoid. All we can believe that when it comes to international development, charity needs to begin in the homes of the people they seek to support. Earlier, we heard about Cynthia, who at one stage was living in the streets of Monrovia with only one set of clothes. Cynthia discovered the work of All We Can's local partner, SHIFT, Self-Help Initiative for Sustainable Development, who provided her first with adult literacy classes and later a vocational training course in tailoring. These stories are possible because All We Can support SHIFT with their strategic planning, providing leadership training, and contribute to both their core and project costs. Just as important as what All We Can did do is what they didn't do. All We Can did not buy Cynthia a sewing machine. All We Can did not tell Cynthia what career she should pursue. All We Can did not swoop in, establish some projects, and then quickly withdraw. They did not do these things because the freedom and autonomy God gives us is not ours to take away from others. Charity begins at home does not mean that we do not have a responsibility to use our harvest to support communities around the world. It does mean that the support we offer must be led by the people for whom that is their home. It's not just that freedom and autonomy are ends in themselves either. Trusting people to take the lead in their own development also leads to better outcomes. The truth is that no one is more familiar with the rains coming down and the streams rising in a particular community than the people who live in that community. Solutions that are developed by local communities invariably trump those that are imported by people with little knowledge of the specific local context. The director of SHIFT, Jeremiah, also knows that to build sustainable change, you need to be rooted in God. He takes inspiration from John Wesley's expression that man cannot do anything on this earth without God, and God will not do anything on this earth without man. But he also knows that sustainable change needs to be rooted in the community. Jeremiah says the community already has so much, they just need someone to help them see clearly what they have, how best to value what they have and make use of it. This is what All We Can mean when they say charity begins at home. Charity begins at home. Charity begins at their home. Our final variation on this phrase is charity begins at God's home. And this is where we turn to the passage from Isaiah 65. Here the prophet is given a vision of a new heaven and new earth, a place where weeping is heard no more, where people live full lives, where crops are plentiful, where peace is established. What's interesting here is that even in this vision of new creation, personal autonomy and dignity are still at the centre. God doesn't say, I'll give them houses to live in, I'll give them fruit to eat. It is, they shall build her houses and dwell in them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. All We Can's vision statement is, every person's potential fulfilled. And it is a vision tied to this picture of the kingdom of God. Not just where people no longer live in poverty, but where people are truly flourishing and enjoy all the dignity that God has given them. This is the end goal of the charity we provide as Christians, not tied to a particular political agenda, not based on our whim at a certain point in time, not based on a vague concept of niceness. It is the kingdom of God. And this end point is actually our starting point. In all our justice seeking, we We are working backwards from what we already know is coming. What can we do now that makes our current home look a little more like the eternal home? In this sense, charity begins at God's home. Celebrating harvest, sharing our bounty and excess in a way that supports others in a dignified way, gives us a foretaste of this heavenly home. What does our harvest look like as a church community? And how might we use it charitably in a way that allows charity to begin at our home, their home, and God's home? Amen.